everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler. I have a repeat guest back. I just can't get enough of Max. Max Altshuler is the CEO and founder of Sales Hacker, Inc. He's also the vice president of marketing at Outreach.io, which is a fabulous tool for those of you who are considering leveraging a technology and automation in your conversations, either at the top, and now they go all the way to close with their tool. Today, I'd like to talk with Max about a new book that he has just come out with, co-authored with, I think, Manny and Mark, and he'll talk to you more about that. It's called Sales Engagement, How the World's Fastest Growing Companies Are Modernizing Sales Through Humanization at Scale. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So tell us, Max, what got you guys involved with this book? What made you decide now's the time to talk about it? And let's talk about some of the learnings inside that you feel are most impactful for our audience, which are the audience that are trying to start conversations with people we don't know, follow up on conversations where people reached out to us, and then also now taking it all the way down to close.
Yeah. So thanks for having me on the show. And it's, you know, it's great to be back and be back chatting with you, of course. And, you know, the book is... it was fun to write. You know, this is the stuff we kind of live and breathe and sweat here at Outreach. And so it got the, got a lot of our employees involved that are deeply, you know, kind of ingrained in the product, out of a lot of our, you know, really happy customers and savvy, you know, power users involved, and kind of talking about how they use, modern sales engagement strategies. And it's really, it is really a book that, you know, there are some amazing strategies throughout, and it helps you create that sales engagement strategy, but it's super tactical and actionable and practical and allows you to do things immediately based off reading the book. So, for example, understanding how to use multiple different channels and being where your buyer is, when your buyer is there, understanding how to run experiments and A/B tests so that you know the best way to reach out every time, instead of just going off intuition or, you know, I see all these, you know, silver bullet nuggets out there on LinkedIn and everywhere else that it's like, hey, if you, use best or, to sign off your email instead of sincerely, you have a 12.5% higher response rate. And it's like, okay, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. And it also doesn't teach people how to run their own experiments. So it's kind of like, you know, it's giving you an inedible fish instead of teaching you how to fish for things you can actually eat. So we wrote the book to do just that. We want to teach people kind of how to fish and how to run an effective sales engagement strategy. So as the leader in sales engagement and as the category kind of rolls down the hill and builds on itself, and you know, we've got, I think, like close to 50,000, you know, users who are jumping on the platform every week. There are a lot of people who need this information, and it's only going to grow from there. So we wanted to make sure we were able to, be the ones to provide it.
So help us understand your definition of sales engagement. It's used in a variety of ways and a variety of flavors of it. How are you describing sales engagement?
Sales engagement is really anything that you do to engage with your customer or prospect. So it doesn't matter if you're prospecting and you are cold emailing, cold calling, sending out one-to-one, you know, personalized videos, whatever channel you're using. It doesn't matter if it's cold and at the top of the funnel, or if it's, you know, nurturing a deal along and getting the right stakeholders involved and having a process and a strategy to kind of track, measure, and analyze that, or it's CSMs who are going after the renewal and wanting to be on top of their game and making sure that they're following up appropriately with the customers who are renewing at a certain point. It really can be used in any stage of the sales process, inbound or outbound. I think now more than ever before, sales and marketing are integrated, and sales and success are integrated. And so, you need a strategy and a process that's really going to tie all that together. And I think sales engagement is really is that process. And at Outreach, you know, we are trying to build the single pane of glass, the any action, all the insights kind of all in one platform. So you can do all of your channels, all of your activities, and get the insights from the results of those activities or channels, all in your one platform, so that you could then use that to inform your next best action. And I think that's when it gets really interesting.
So based on your background, you cover both sides of the fence. A lot of times we don't have insights into marketing from sales. And sometimes when we're sitting on the marketing side, we're not really sure what sales needs. You have a unique talent in that you can blend and cross over pretty easily. When you say that sales engagement does help those two align, how do we kind of start the conversation with marketing? If we're in sales and we really want to set up what you're calling an omni-channel or multi-channel approach, so we're talking about email, phone, social, even direct mail in some cases, video, a lot of these different channels, how do we get started on picking which channels we want to go to get this gravity of conversation? Or do we start, because we can leverage a tool now, do we start with multiple buckets of things, of channels? Or do you recommend that sometimes we look at what are the three top ones? How would you advise us on that?
Yeah, so a lot of different talking points in that one. So we can start with kind of your choosing your channels or understanding your channels, and it really starts with understanding your buying persona. So we did a sales engagement survey with the Bridge Group and the Modern Sales Pros, and we polled about 884 sales and marketing professionals, sales marketing leaders, about how they like to buy. And, you know, inside of sales and marketing, there are a lot of different kind of sub roles. So let's say there's ops, there's executives, et cetera, et cetera. And what we were able to find is that logically, if you're selling to a salesperson or an exec, like a CEO or a, you know, C-level, you know, let's say CRO or CMO, all of these people are out of their phones. They're out of pocket more than they're in computers. So using channels to be where they are is going to give you a higher chance of success. So for example, if you're selling to a salesperson, you probably want to call them or leave them a voicemail or text them over sending them an email because they're living out of their phones. With an ops person, you know, maybe they're sitting in front of two screens all day, and, you know, calling them or leaving them a voicemail isn't as interesting because they're not out of their phones. You might want to LinkedIn message them or send them a one-on-one personalized video because they're going to be living in their screens. So it's really just about understanding your persona and where they spend their time, and then finding ways, you know, to set up sequences so that you are capitalizing on where they live, but also surrounding the account. And that's where marketing comes into play. So, you know, as you go up market and you surround these accounts and you do your account-based, you know, account-based revenue, account-based sales and marketing plays, you use your sales engagement platform to either prospect, nurture, or, you know, manage the renewal process, however you're using it. And then marketing can support how they typically support. So you're reaching out on all those different channels, and marketing is able to set up retargeting campaigns and intent data campaigns that allow them to target the same contacts and the same accounts at the same time. And it all needs to be led by sales. Sales needs to do the account selection and kind of lead from the front of the pack. And they need to integrate with marketing around your sales engagement strategy to understand where they can support with, you know, marketing's ABM campaign and sales's sales engagement campaign.
Okay, so sales, in a sales engagement arena, sales is going to take the lead on how these campaigns are set up. And because the persona development is probably done on both sides, since we're, you know, on the sales side, we're really focused on what conversation snippets can I utilize in my dialogue with prospects to advance them further into the pipeline. Whereas marketing is really like thinking, okay, how can I get people to raise a hand to actually want to start a conversation? We're taking that conversation and trying to further it into the pipeline as well. So it makes sense that we would lead that type of alignment. How about the content assets itself? How is sales engagement utilizing content assets, or do we not? I know with outreach, the email engine, for example, is a fairly simple engine, which it should be. Not a lot of HTML, for example. It's not really a graphical, really pretty type of email message because we don't want that. How does that align with the way marketing likes to do things, which is usually, you know, they're very visual in nature and having the piece look really nice, but we're just trying to get the conversation going. How does that work?
So in terms of content, I mean, there are a couple of different types of content that you talk about when you talk about sales engagement. So at Outreach, for example, we have a full-time sequence writer, full-time mm-hmm. content person who solely focuses on running experiments with our content. So that's like the sales engagement side of it. That's, mm-hmm. that's what they focus on. They yeah. work with marketing and sales enablement to figure out what are the key things that we need to have prepared, or what are the campaigns that we're running for this persona, et cetera, et cetera. So this person kind of sits between sales and marketing and goes off marketing's campaigns and what they know about the personas, and sets the content up from the SDRs and the sales reps. While marketing takes a similar campaign and approaches that through targeting them with advertisements or direct mail or whatever else they can do, events, et cetera, on the marketing side of things. In terms of injecting content assets into the message, that's something that every company has to experiment with. You know, that, and that's one of the things that we talk about when we talk about experiments. Should I embed this content? Should I link to a piece of gated content? Should I link to a piece of free content? How can I utilize content in my outreach? What's the best way to do it? And there's no silver bullet. I can't sit here and say you should always link in your second sentence to a piece of gated content where you can then get their email address and understand their level of intent. It doesn't work like that for everybody. that's where you can use a sales engagement platform and start testing that. It's like, all right, I'm going to include the link at the end of my email explicitly. It's not going to be hidden at all, and it's going to go to an ungated page, and it's a value driver. It's a credibility builder. But what the asset that you link to can be something that could provide value for the person on the other end, B, provide credibility, you know, so maybe it's an analyst report or something like that. C can be something else. You know, there's a million different things really you can probably link to from a content perspective. I think probably the first two are the most common, but it's really up to you and your sales process and your persona and you experimenting with what works.
Right. And the beauty of a tool like an outreach tool is that you don't need to worry, folks, about, okay, what did I send, when and how and to whom. It keeps track of all of that for you, all your activity, everything that you've done, and it automatically computes metrics for you. So you're going to get a statistically relevant sampling when you do a test that X number of people opened, X number of people could have clicked through or not, and then X number of people replied, in the case of an email, which gives you just a plethora of ways to go from there with that particular piece of conversation. And that is by far, to me, the beauty of these types of tools, is that we could sit here in a manual environment, just think of an Excel worksheet, and move people from column to column as we do testing. But just think if you have hundreds and thousands of records, or if you do in a sequence, which a sequence is a grouping of conversation snippets, 1 through N, usually 10 to 12, somewhere like that. But just think of these members that are starting with email number 1, then go to a voicemail number 2, then do a LinkedIn. You can't possibly, as a human, keep track of that. It's just impossible for you to do that. So these tools are fabulous for that peace of mind, that once you finish a sequence, you can look at it overall. You can watch things as they go. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I love to be able to see as we go how things are performing, and should we change the conversation at this position in that sequence because it's resonating? Let's move that guy up. We would never know that otherwise.
Yeah.
With a tool like yours, you can tell right away.
Yeah.
So I peeked at the software. I'm seeing things now where we're starting to march down to getting to close. If I'm an AE sitting in the audience thinking, okay, this is great. I could, in my prospecting time, I could certainly use something like this sales engagement. Does that also cross over from opportunity to close? Are these principles also applicable to an account executive who's taking the opportunity and getting it to close point?
Yes, definitely. So if you're not a full cycle AE, you're only a closer, you can definitely take advantage of sales engagement strategies because deal cycles, unless it's super transactional stuff, and even then you still want to have the ability to kind of track and analyze and as a manager, make sure everybody's running the best practice or the best plays. But in the longer deal cycles, I mean, your deal's not done yet. You get the handoff, you run the demo, you still need to triangulate usually a lot of people within a deal. And you need a platform that's going to be able to track all that activity and allow you to, one, streamline a lot of it so that it's less of, these like tedious, menial tasks. And two, kind of track the best practices and insert the best practices of your team across the way. Your sales engagement platform should integrate with a lot of your other technology. So it should make your life a lot easier. And it should be the one single pane of glass that you live in and day out that surfaces all the information from, your research sites, from your CRM, from your wherever, you're taking your notes, whatever else, can all live within that one place, be able to surface all of your sales enablement content. So whatever your file cabinet is that you use, HighSpot, Showpad, Seismic, you name it, should be able to pull in from there. Mm-hmm. And it should allow you to streamline your entire engagement and connecting process. So if you are an AE, you should be able to get a lot of value from it. And if you're a manager or a director or a leader of a team of closers, I think that's where it gets really interesting because you can make sure that your team is doing and saying all the right things throughout the entire process. And that, if they lose a deal, you want to know why they lost that deal. And it's really hard to get that information, if the rep's just telling you, but if you can go back and look at all the interactions and the activities and you can say, well, typically we see a lot more activity, what happened? You weren't in touch not only as often as you should be, but maybe with the right people. Mm-hmm. You didn't have executive alignment. You didn't have a texting relationship with the champion. A champion's not a champion unless you're, in a texting relationship with them. All these different things that you could look at and say, the data, the activities are showing me this. Right. So it doesn't really matter what this person says. It's, here's how I manage my team based off of what activities are they doing? What are the things that they're mentioning? Are they mentioning them at the right time? Are they going by the battle cards? Are they saying the right things at the right times?
The other thing that I think is interesting is that with the way this is going, I'm always trying to figure out where is the single source of truth here? Is it in the engagement system or is it in the CRM? Or is the CRM kind of becoming obsolete for us because of the fact that we are trying to track the conversations as opposed to tracking mundane activities and manually tracking them. Whereas the software now, sales engagement software, can track activities on our behalf because once we hang up the phone or close out an email or get a reply, all of that is automatically tracked for us and triggered for us and essentially scored for us in a sales enablement system. That just doesn't exist in CRM.
Yeah, CRM is definitely more of a data warehouse and a valuable one at that. And a lot of successful organizations use Outreach in tandem with their CRM. But I think your activities and engagement need to be tracked in a system of engagement,
right?
And not in the CRM. where your data is kept. And your data should be kept in a CRM and it should be kept clean, but everything else should be tracked in a sales engagement platform.
So it really is transitioning more. Even the AEs are starting to, I know with a lot of my most recent clients, we're getting the AEs to hop on eventually to the engagement platform because of the fact that we have these great insights at top of funnel with the business development folks, and the inbound people now can actually use the system. And even our researchers, because we harvest our lists for a lot of my clients, we can't rely necessarily on purchased lists. So we have the research team that utilizes the engagement platform. Why? Because then we can single source the records coming in to understand researchers, where they're getting their records, where they source them, the close rates on those. And it allows us to now take multiple avenues of list building, multiple avenues of attraction based from the inbound side. And then, of course, the original design of these systems for us was to target those accounts that we wanted to go after from the predictable revenue days. And we have that all blended now and inside of this one little tool. And then before, it used to then hand off and go into the CRM abyss where we couldn't really tell what was happening to it. So it makes sense that we're starting to move activity for conversation into these systems and then use the CRM perhaps as a reporting engine. And even that, I think, is going to change. But for right now, it is, like you said, a glorified data warehouse for us. But that's all we use it for, really, in most of these cases, because of the fact that these systems can track our activity on our behalf, and we're not bogged down in data entry at all in these systems. You agree with that?
We still do a lot of reporting and forecasting and you know, stage, you know, tracking stages and stuff like that in Salesforce. Like, it definitely comes in handy for us, and we're happy Salesforce customers. And you know, Salesforce is a strong integration for us. Right now we have Dynamics coming out in the next, you know, 2 or 3 months. So we will eventually be, I think, CRM agnostic at some point, but, I mean, you need to be tracking things in an engagement platform, in a sales engagement platform. You have your team live in there so you can optimize your sales process. And I think that's the way your team's going to get better in 2019 and beyond, not sitting in your CRM.
So you're the VP of marketing over at Outreach, and you're running Sales Hacker at the same time, busy guy. What should we see in the future? You know, like 2020, what should we be looking for? Is GDPR going to hit us here, in your opinion? Are we going to have issues with sending out emails? If you could, like, give us the max crystal ball engagement, what would that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, our version of GDPR is already coming, CCPA. You know, there's definitely going to be more of a crackdown on email, and I think that's good for us. I mean, our mantra is not about, you know, oh, just go send cold emails. It's send them the right way, and I think that's what GDPR is all about. It's like, it's not enforcing the fact that you can't send a cold email to anybody. It's making sure you do it in an appropriate manner. So I think it's just going to make everybody better at what they do, versus kind of the other way around. But I don't think it's going to really stick or stuck anything. And so, we're excited to see kind of what comes from it, and you know, we'll be ready for it. I think for us, outside of GDPR, it's really just about helping reps understand their next best action. For us, you know, we're building. We just launched Outreach Galaxy, which is our application marketplace, our ecosystem. And we understand that a lot of these companies use a lot of different technologies, and they're all kind of fragmented and they're all over the place. And, you know, sometimes they connect inside of your CRM, but it's, you know, insights are over here, activities are over there.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
A bunch of different apps. So we want to tie everything together. And what we really want to be able to do is, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, if you can keep all the activities in one platform, then you can get all the insights in one platform. If you can get all the insights in one platform, those insights can actually be used to inform your next best action. If you send a one-to-one personalized video to somebody and they open the video and are watching the video, and you can get a notification in the same application that you sent the video in that the video is being watched right now, triggers a phone call, then you call them. Now, like, think of how amazing that is. Like, they're watching That's the video amazing. And you call them, and it all got triggered from your application. Mm-hmm. So you're like, as a leader, you don't have to have your reps like logging into in and out of different apps and potentially like getting the notification 15 minutes later. And then if they get the notification 15 minutes later, now the person's on to the next thing in their day. So right. when they do call them, they're not going to pick up or have the time. Versus like while they're watching the video, it's still right fresh in their head, and it's, you know, the perfect time to call them. They have the time, mm-hmm. right? So the insights, the activity is creating insights. Insights are feeding the next best activity. And if you can do that every time, then you could essentially clone your best reps. And I think that's what we're getting to, is a point where your team is experimenting and knows how to experiment. They can track and analyze all the activity and the insights all within one platform. And then because of that, leaders and you know, team managers can basically say, okay, well, here's the best practice because we know it's the best practice. Now go and mm-hmm. do it.
Right.
And that's when it gets really interesting. And that's when
it does. Yeah, I mean, letting the data drive, the data driving the next action. It's just for someone like me, who's a data nut, it's just, that's the way to, that takes the ego, like you said, the guesswork, the gut. And yes, some of these outlier reps have all that and are fabulous because of that. But what we're trying to do is get those other 80% who are not the best reps to perform the way that the best ones are. Max, thank you so much for your time. I will put all your contact information for everybody who wants to know how to reach him. He's very well known out there in our world. And again, outreach.io is VP of marketing there. So I'm sure you run around a lot speaking. You can touch base with him there or with Sales Hacker. Thanks again, Max.
Thank you.